China and Russia are now in the business of protecting Iran's nuclear threat.
The United States watches North Korea and others. It's Monday, December 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, NATO looks to China. Japanese robots aim to improve life. A new stage for the Afghan war. Global protests. And very special fantasy flights. It's all on today's VOA Asia. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said Sunday he did not want to speculate about North Korea and its threat of a Christmas gift, but added the United States would be very disappointed if Pyongyang tested a long-range or nuclear missile. During an interview with ABC's This Week, O'Brien said the country would take appropriate action as a leading military and economic power if North Korea went ahead with such a test.
This was the most difficult challenge in the world when President Trump took office. President Obama warned him that there could be a war on the Korean Peninsula. Multiple administrations, Republican and Democrat, have dealt with this situation without success over the years. President Trump took a different attack with personal diplomacy, and so far we've had some success. Kim Jong-un promised to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. We want to hold him to that commitment, and we hope he follows through with the commitment that he made in Singapore. But if he doesn't, we have other tools in the toolkit as the United States, and we'll use those as necessary.
North Korea had warned of a Christmas gift if the United States did not meet an end-of-year deadline to soften its stance on nuclear talks that have been stalled since February. U.S. officials have been on alert for a potential long-range missile test since the North Korean warning. Although the Christmas holiday has passed and North Korea did not deliver the so-called Christmas gift to the United States, U.S.-North Korea tensions appear far from resolved. O'Brien told ABC News that talks about North Korea's denuclearization have been largely deadlocked since the second summit between Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Hanoi, which collapsed at the start of this year. Meanwhile, the United States is monitoring a naval exercise involving China, Russia, and Iran. VOA's Adriana Chang spoke with Richard Fisher, Senior Fellow on Asian Military Affairs at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, who says the naval drills are of interest beyond the United States and the evolution of the so-called Axis of Evil, a term coined by former President George W. Bush.
It's not only provocative to the United States, it's provocative to Israel and to Saudi Arabia. This is the future of the Axis of Evil. From here on out, the Axis of Evil will have power projection. For this exercise, China is only sending one heavily missile-armed destroyer. For future exercises with Iran, it will send aircraft carriers and large amphibious assault ships. China and Russia are now in the business of protecting Iran's nuclear threat to Israel, to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia, and the world. Very soon, China and Russia will also be in the business of protecting North Korea's nuclear missile threat to South Korea, Japan, and the United States, and the world. This is simply a fact of life for the democracies. They must now prepare to defend themselves from a power-projected axis of evil.
So how do you think they should prepare themselves?
Well, the first requirement is for the United States and its allies and partners to develop, build, and deploy thousands of new theater range missiles. The United States is very rapidly deploying or developing new theater range ballistic missiles, including new hypersonic weapon armed missiles that hopefully will begin deployment in the next 2 to 3 years. With the deployment of these missiles on land bases and on ships, hopefully on submarines, and deployable from large aircraft. It will be possible by the middle to end of the 2020s to deter the power-projected axis of evil. But the building of the missiles has to be done quickly, and the effort has to be sustained. And the United States has to offer long-range missile technology to its allies and partners, like South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan.
Richard Fisher, Senior Fellow on Asian Military Affairs at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, speaking with VOA's Adriana Chong. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea starts key meeting but offers no details on, quote, new way. Taiwan president says island's democracy under threat from China. Analysts say 2019, a false dawn for democracy in Thailand. Australian Prime Minister announces compensation for volunteer firefighters. Sydney New Year's fireworks to go ahead despite wildfires. You can read and watch much more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Many experts say the most remarkable news from the recently held NATO summit in London is that NATO, history's most lasting and effective alliance, for the first time defined China as a strategic challenge. They contend that Beijing aims to dominate the world's high-tech industry through its technology giant Huawei, forge a military on par with the United States, and connect the majority of the world's population under its Belt and Road Initiative. VOA's Jayla J. Franceschi talks with two former NATO supreme commanders about the geostrategic risks posed by China.
Conversations at NATO's London gathering centered on the recognition that China is a daunting global competitor for the alliance. One more nimble and powerful than the Soviet Union ever was, says former top NATO military commander, retired Marine General James Jones.
They are pursuing a strategic goal of dominance of over their people, for sure, and over as much of the world as they can get their hands on. And they're doing it in a very skillful way by investing in our economies, using almost capitalist-type techniques, but at the same time developing their cybersecurity espionage capabilities to an unparalleled level of effectiveness.
China aims to take over the digital infrastructure of the 21st century with the help of its tech giant, Huawei. Jones predicts China will exploit its position to gain a coercive advantage over the United States and its allies.
An organization like NATO absolutely has to have a secure system in order to be viable. You can't have 10 countries with Huawei and 20 countries with something else. So it's really a basic issue, and the reason I'm passionate about it is because it's a now issue. It's not 10 years from now. It's now.
John says the race for 5G supremacy is as critical as the one to produce the first atomic bomb or to put a man on the moon.
China's a rising power. China's got four times the population of the United States. It's got a middle class that's larger than the entire American population, and it's done extremely well by bringing in foreign investment and foreign technology.
To minimize the risks, NATO must come up with a plan to defend against China's quest for global supremacy, says former NATO Supreme Allied Commander Wesley Clark.
Doesn't do any good for the United States to put pressure on China with regard to technology and then have Germany or France or Britain or some other NATO ally sell the very same technology or similar technology to China. So that's our challenge, and we need to work with our allies in dealing with China. If we do that, yes, we can manage the challenge of China.
Washington's call for greater focus on Beijing has found a receptive audience in much of Europe, where concerns are mounting about China's growing economic, military, and cyber technology advantage.
For the first time, we addressed the rise of China, both the challenges and the opportunities it poses, and the implications for our security. Leaders agreed we need to address this together as an alliance.
The 29-member North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which celebrated its 70th anniversary in early December, represents half the world's economic and military might. Yela De Franceschi, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, at least 50 people have died in Bangladesh as cold weather continues to sweep across that country. At least 17 people died of acute respiratory infection, 33 from diarrhea and other diseases across Bangladesh from November 1st through December 28th, according to health officials. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today as we begin a new week on VOA Asia. A recent trade fair in Tokyo showcased the robots of 2019. Engineers created some that play games while others could save lives. As VOA's Arash Arbasadi reports, these robots exist to make the world a little better.
Robots for all occasions, like those times when you just want to get away. This year's Tokyo International Robot Exhibition, or IREX, spotlighted machines making the world a kinder place.
This robot's specialty is using artificial intelligence to determine a player's skill level or areas of improvement. We can really expand on robots sensing the condition of a player and how we receive feedback when it's playing against someone.
Engineers showed off a robot dog that presumably won't stain your carpets, but can still do a neat trick. Much more than just fun and games, the machines on display may actually improve and even save our lives.
This robot is made to be used anywhere that may be dangerous for a human to go. For example, if there's a tsunami or some kind of natural disaster or fire. Looking ahead, it could be used in space or deep sea exploration.
Engineers designed this robotic wheelchair specifically to maneuver in crowded places.
By riding in this type of robotic mobility, people who find travel unappealing or troublesome can enjoy shopping and make even traveling at an airport a pleasant experience.
The Will Next robotic chair, that's safety sensor in English, can detect objects and automatically stop when needed. It also has a companion robot that carries luggage and tracks the chair to its final destination. IREX happens once every 2 years. 2019 saw the biggest turnout with nearly 650 exhibitors and 3,600 booths. Arash Arbasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, the Afghan war reaches the theatrical stage. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. The Japanese Coast Guard says a boat suspected of being from North Korea with several bodies was found on a small island in northern Japan. Found on the boats were separate heads and bodies. The five bodies for which gender could be confirmed were all male. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, War Dracula is a stage play by a group of Afghan theater actors in Kabul. The theme of the play revolves around the damage and consequences of the multi-decade-long war in Afghanistan. VOA's Haseeb Maududi filed this report from Kabul, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
A routine day followed by a bomb blast. This is a scene from a theater play called War Dracula in Kabul. The play showcases the tragic aftermath of a suicide attack. And according to the Afghan National Theater's director, Sayed Mansour Rahmani, Afghans have been living in fear for decades.
It has been nearly half a century. Our people are tired of war. This current generation was born in war, and we do not want them to be killed in war.
While civilian deaths make headlines after a bomb blast, more often than not, injured people's lives drastically change as well. Some become disabled, and the play also focuses on them.
We have to unite and come together so that we can stand against the enemy. If we are not united, enemy would misuse us in different ways.
Actors like Leila Hamdard say it isn't hard to portray the roles of people who have lost loved ones, since most Afghans share that feeling.
Mothers who lose their children, women who lose their brothers and fathers, I would feel that while acting because most of us here have lost someone.
The goal of the play is to promote unity among different ethnicities in Afghanistan in hopes of a peaceful tomorrow. For Haseeb Maududi in Kabul, Afghanistan, Behzad Hamdard, VOA News.
This news break from VOA Asia. A fresh Taliban attack in Afghanistan has killed 17 pro-government forces. A provincial government spokesman told VOA Sunday the overnight deadly insurgent attack targeted a security outpost in Bahuddin District in northeastern Takhar province. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the past year has seen a series of protests from Hong Kong to Chile and from Sudan to Iran. In more than a dozen countries, citizens have taken to the streets to air grievances, and many have gotten results. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir looks at the year of discontent.
In France, protesters put on their yellow vests and demanded better pay and an end to rising prices. In Sudan, the people brought down the 40-year regime of a genocidal dictator. In Haiti, they demanded the president's resignation and the prosecution of corrupt officials. And in Hong Kong, demonstrators started by standing up to the Chinese authorities over an extradition law and expanded their demands to include more democracy.
The older generations have failed tackling the biggest crisis humanity has ever faced.
Even school children have taken to the streets, demanding that adults take better care of the planet. In these countries and on the streets of Iraq, Lebanon, Ecuador, Iran, and elsewhere, citizens are saying enough and demanding a change to business as usual. The UN Secretary General has called on governments to listen to the real problems of their people.
It is clear that there is a growing deficit of trust between people and political establishments and rising threats to the social contract. And the world is also wrestling with the negative impacts of globalization and new technologies, which have increased inequalities within societies.
In response, some governments have tried to address grievances, while others use a heavy hand to try to keep power. In Iraq and Iran, hundreds of protesters have been killed by aggressive security forces. While protesters have been overwhelmingly peaceful, some in France, Chile, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Hong Kong have vandalized and looted property.
They have a right to peacefully protest. Governments, unfortunately, have been, in many cases, using excessive force, arresting people arbitrarily, sometimes even killing them, murdering them. That is illegal. The authorities who are responsible for the decisions and the killings should be held accountable, but also protesters need to behave responsibly.
Experts say protesters are less afraid.
The main thing that we see in many of these places is the break of the fear barrier. People are now unafraid to go out in the street and criticize these politicians, something in the past used to be taboo.
Diwashi says in many cases it is now the politicians who fear the power of the people. Much of that power comes from organizing through social media, which is both a powerful tool and a vulnerability as governments cut communication networks.
Governments have realized that internet shutdowns are a great way to make it difficult for protesters to organize, but we've also seen that they still organize. You can't stop them.
As 2020 approaches, there are no signs these social media-fueled protest movements are slowing down. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Every year for the last 30 years around Christmas, United Airlines organizes what they call a fantasy flight. They take over 100 children and their families who are part of the Children's Hospice International Network on a very special trip. Anna Nelson has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
This is a very special departure gate. The check-in desks are decorated with wreaths, dressed-up dogs are lounging by the gate, and there are snacks and drinks aplenty. This is far from an ordinary flight. It's United Airlines Fantasy Flight, part of a 30-year annual tradition. The airline takes over 100 sick children and their families on a magical trip to a U.S. destination that is made up to look like the North Pole. This year, the North Pole was in New York. It's even special for the flight crew.
Last year, we went to the North Pole, so I was really excited by what I saw last year, and I called up my chief pilot begging to do this flight again.
All these special boys and girls have been through a lot during their lives. Chemo in hospitals, medications and surgeries. But the whole idea on this day is to make sure they don't think about that. Trinity is only 4. She has already gone through dozens of heart surgeries. She has never been on a plane and confesses she has never seen Santa.
She wants a dollhouse, she wants a kitchen set, and all the princess dolls. Yes, that's all she asked for. That's it. Just life. Just to spend life. That's it. Every moment I can with her. Because you never know.
Fantasy Flight is a chance to distract the kids and their parents from the brutal reality of what they've been through, even though some have learned to smile as they talk about it.
It was really a form of cancer that didn't really present with many symptoms, just a simple sinus infection that, you know, had us in a hospital that was, or it had us with the doctor, it wasn't going away. And then, so, you know, we pushed a little bit more, and then we found out that, you know, what it is we needed to do. And, you know, together as a family, we've been pushing through.
What is your biggest dream ever?
For my cancer to be done and I don't have to look back at it.
For a whole hour, the plane circled over Christmas in New York as kids listened to songs and poems and were made to believe that Santa and miracles do exist and are waiting for them at the North Pole. As they arrived at the gate, nothing gave away it was New York for a little while. Dispatchers and airline employees all turned into snowmen, gingerbread people, and cartoon characters. The greeting made everyone, even adults, speechless. The head of the airport baggage department had the honor of playing Santa this year, signing every gift with the child's name.
Last year, there was a very sick young boy, and he really struggled to walk. And when he saw Santa, he was able to kind of run. And that, to me, is... That to me is just an extraordinary, special experience to be able to see and to visit with his family.
And even if some passengers are too small to remember this flight later, they will have photographs galore, meeting Santa, and for a little while, believing in miracles. For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud, of course, on our website. That's voanews.com. You can see us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. We're even on Instagram. And, of course, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Write to us and send an email, voaasia@voanews.com. We're also heard on the radio, DZUP, 1602 AM radio at the University of the Philippines in Diliman in Quezon City. We thank everyone listening, as we thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Kelvin Fowler, managing editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a great day.